Next up is scallops, and I will turn to Ms. Griffin when she is ready.
Thank you, Chair. So for scallops today, we'll get two presentations, one on Framework 40, which is our annual spec setting process, and we'll get some updates on work priorities. For Framework 40, we're really at the beginning of the process. I think we've mentioned yesterday that the SSC will meet in October to set limits, but the committee has begun some PDT taskings. Final action is set for December. So today, we don't have any final decisions to make on alternatives. I believe we will see one motion to add an alternative and then also take up a motion on the RSA notice of funding. So with that, I'll hand it over to Connor for his presentations.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. My name is Connor Buckley, the Council's Scallop Plan Coordinator. Plan for today, I'll cover a few general updates related to the RSA program and the Northern Gulf of Maine compliance issues that were noted at the June Council meeting. We'll have an update on Framework 40, surveys and potential management measures for fishing year 2026 and 2027 default. And then after pausing for questions there, we'll go into 2025 scallop work priorities, including the strategic plan outlook for 2026. As the chair noted, anticipated action for you today, we have a committee motion related to a letter urging NOAA Fisheries to publish the 2026 Notice of Funding Opportunity. All right, so jumping into Framework 40 first. Currently, the scope of Framework 40 is to set fishery specifications for fishing year 2026 and default measures for fishing year 2027. A brief overview of what gets included in scallop fishery specifications, because this has come up in relation to the omnibus management flexibility action. So this covers in the scallop FMP, setting overfishing limits and acceptable biological catch, annual catch limits for both the limited access and limited access general category fisheries, the annual catch target for the limited access fishery, annual projected landings for both components, allocations for the limited access vessels, including days at sea and access area allocations, and then for the LAGC vessels, including a maximum number of trips for access area fishing. And then for the Northern Gulf of Maine component, the total allowable landings in Northern Gulf of Maine set aside, and then an incidental catch target. So all of those things kind of fall under the purview of what's already in the scope of Framework 40 for this year. And just another quick reminder that we're in the process of implementing the updated reference points from the 2025 research track assessment. Those are listed in the far right column here. We have the regional reference points listed relevant to the conversation at the SSC that I'll note a little bit later and that we heard about yesterday. But right now, the combined reference points for the scallop stock are at the OFL and F of 0.49. and then a FABC of 0.36. And the stock status, overfish and overfishing, are both not occurring. Jumping into the summary of the 2025 survey information, this is a plot of the mean survey biomass estimates running from 2015 through 2025, separated out by the Mid-Atlantic, Georges Bank, and the Gulf of Maine. And as you can see, the period from 2025 is now the lowest survey biomass that we've seen in over a decade, particularly for Georges Bank, where the trend is now the absolute lowest. The Mid-Atlantic, we did see a slight increase relative to last year. breaking Georgia's bank estimates down by region. We've seen a decline across the majority of Georgia's bank. Particularly that decline is most sharply seen, I think, in Area 2, where there was fairly steep declines in biomass, both in the traditional access area, the extension, and Area 2 north in the HAPC. In Area 1, there was also a fairly significant decline in biomass. The really areas where we saw increases were in the Nantucket Lightships south, which I'll cover in a little bit more detail, but did see some substantial growth from that recruitment event from 2022. In the Mid-Atlantic, biomass is certainly at a decline from the earlier year classes in the Mid-Atlantic access area, but we did see a slight uptick in the open bottom of the Mid-Atlantic, driven by some recruitment seen in the Long Island and New York Bight areas, and growth in the Elephant Trunk and Hudson Canyon areas, so a slight increase from the mean of the 2024 surveys. So key take-homes here. We're still looking at about twice as many scallops, a little bit more on Georgia's Bank relative to the Mid-Atlantic. About 6 billion scallops on Georgia's Bank, 2.3 billion in the Mid-Atlantic. We saw abundance decline in both regions between 2024 and 2025. Those declines were most sharply seen in the HAPC, the Northern Edge, and then in Area 1 up north in the Sliver, where we have evidence of some elevated natural mortality in addition to the access area fishing that took place this year. Overall, not a strong sign of recruitment. There were some patches of recruitment noted, a large hotspot in the southern flank that I'll note, some recruitment seen in the northern flank, on the northern edge in the HAPC, and then continued recruitment in the Nantucket Lightships south and north, the New York Bight, Long Island, and Block Island areas. Overall, as I noted, the survey biomass declined between 2024 and 2025. On Georgia's Bank, there were increases in the Lightship South as that younger year class has grown, but the large declines throughout Area 1 and Area 2. And then in the Mid-Atlantic, again, I'll note that growth was really seen in the Elephant Trunk and Hudson Canyon areas. Those animals have seemed to survive quite well relative to previous years where there has been elevated natural mortality. And we saw recruitment in the New York Bight and Long Island areas. Overall, there's still substantial uncertainty in those biomass estimates, particularly for areas with very high densities of recruits, so like the Lightships South, a large hotspot on the southern flank, and then also in areas like the Hudson Canyon South, where there was only a single survey driving those estimates for this year. And so overall, surveys and size frequency data really suggest that there will be fairly limited options for rotational access for fishing year 2026 on Georgia's Bank. We saw those areas of recruitment. The main pockets of biomass on Georgia's Bank are still largely unexploitable scallops. That large 2022 recruitment event in the Lightship South does continue to grow. Growth is faster than the very slow growing Peter Pan cohort, but is still growing more slowly than elsewhere on Georgia's Bank. In the Mid-Atlantic, I think driven by some reports of colder bottom water temperatures, surveys really did observe higher survival, particularly in the southern areas. And so there was year classes that survived in the Virginia and Delmarva areas that traditionally see very high natural mortality. And then there was continued growth in the Elephant Trunk and Hudson Canyon as well. And so potential opportunities for limited rotational fishing in those areas. And so I think this figure kind of drives the state of Georgia's Bank home quite well. This is on the left, looking at a size frequency distribution for all animals on Georgia's Bank. The red line marks the size equivalent to the 4-inch dredge ring, and showing that the vast majority of animals on Georgia's Bank are unexploitable scallops. We generally assume that just over 100 millimeter shell size, about 50% of those scallops would be exploitable. And on the right, this is a survey density plot from UMass Dartmouth, their drop camera survey, showing the across all size classes, the areas of high density across the resource. And so we can see the high densities in the area one still. Within the Lightship South and North areas, there's still some very high densities of animals. And then still some in the Area 2 North and the HAPC and throughout the traditional access area and the extension of Area 2. So jumping around somewhat, looking at some fishery performance data from Fishing Year 2025. In comparison to previous years, landings are quite a bit lower. So far, the limited access fleet has landed about 78% of their annual projected landings, which were about 17 million pounds for this year. That's just about in line with what we saw for Fishing Year 2024, but as you can see here, quite a bit lower than what was seen in previous years. In comparison to Fishing Year 2021, the annual projected landings were about twice as high, and they landed slightly more as a percentage by this point in the year. And looking at landings per unit effort, we like to show this as a metric of the productivity of the open bottom. Overall, I think landings per unit effort are relatively higher than what we saw in 2024, some of that being driven by the blip in fishing that we saw in the Nantucket Lightship West in May, which I think used up a good number of days at sea. And so right now the landings per unit effort average across the fishing year is about 1,600 pounds per day. It's about 500 pounds per day higher than what we estimated for Framework 39. And I think the difference there largely explained by that substantial amount of fishing effort, about 7 million pounds landed from the Lightship West earlier this year. And so looking at open area landings and days at sea effort and where those were spent, we can see Georges Bank, the Great South Channel, and the Mid-Atlantic areas. The right side of these plots is showing the recent months in Fishing Year 2025, and we see that large spike in the South Channel, which includes the Nantucket Lightship West. And so we really think about days at sea across the entire open bottom. We don't split days at sea right now. And so realized F can tend to be higher than what we project for a given area based on individual fishing decisions about where to spend those days at sea. In the Mid-Atlantic, we've seen relatively little days at sea effort being spent. That's largely due to declining biomass, poor meat weights, and issues of shell disease and nematodes. And overall, we are really looking to limit days at sea fishing effort on Georges Bank while providing alternative open bottom opportunities. And that's largely something we heard from the 2025 research track, kind of going back to the issue of overfishing occurring on Georges Bank regionally, and looking to try to provide other opportunities to spend days at sea while keeping the realized F rate on Georges Bank below the FABC. And so here showing the Fishing Year 2025 VMS information, so showing just hours fished. We see that the majority of limited access days at sea effort is occurring on Georges Bank, about 80% being spent there relative to the Mid-Atlantic. And so overall, we really see the really dense hotspots in the Nantucket Lightship West, and then relatively dispersed fishing effort on the Mid-Atlantic, largely centered in the Long Island area, and then further east onto Georges in the southern flank. And so this is just a table summarizing by region, really highlighting where those hours are being spent, corresponding to about 60% of this is just April through July, 60% of those hours being spent on Georges Bank relative to 40% in the Mid-Atlantic. And we're really looking to try to shift that a little bit even more towards the Mid-Atlantic to try to give the open bottom on Georges a chance to, I think, recover a little bit more. And so some of the options for that that have been discussed in the past, either bringing back a rotational area, and so I talked about the growth in the Elephant Trunk and Hudson Canyon area. There could be limited options for a rotational trip in a combined Elephant Trunk and Hudson Canyon area. And the other idea that came forward at the recent scallop advisory panel and committee meetings is the regional allocation of limited access days at sea, using the 71 West Line as a boundary to divide the Mid-Atlantic and Georges Bank. And so that would involve allocating some number of days at sea, specifically the Georges Bank, that would be used east of that line, and then some number of days at sea being used solely west of that line. And the idea that you could take a more controlling hand in trying to shift efforts specifically to be spent in the Mid-Atlantic. So again, some of the issue that we're trying to address is to limit days at sea fishing on Georges Bank while still providing alternative open bottom opportunities, specifically because of the limited opportunities for access area fishing that are on the table for fishing year 2026. So some of the differences between these, really rotational management is a known tool that we've used for a number of years. This would sort of be a new application of trying to apply a rotational area in an area of relatively low biomass and certainly smaller animals than we would typically try to allocate. Putting an access area there would leave the most of the southern Mid-Atlantic and then the Long Island and Block Island areas as open bottom. And generally, we'd see fewer days at sea in favor of that limited rotational allocation. And this is a something that wouldn't require any additional council action, would just be committee tasking to the PDT for analysis. Looking at regional allocations of days at sea, this would be a new approach. Currently, we allocate days at sea across the entire open bottom. We don't try to instruct where those days at sea can be fished. This would require some considerations for how to implement. One of the questions that has come up is how to treat carryover days at sea and the 10 days at sea that can be carried over into a new fishing year. Do those get divvied up? And how we would want to treat those fairly. Right now, the PDT has tasking from the scallop committee, looking for projections that look at a days at sea split along that 71 west boundary at a fishing rate equivalent to the regional FABC. And so because this would require a change to the scope of Framework 40 based on the list of specifications that I listed in the earlier slide, we would be looking for a vote from the council to explore this within Framework 40, and just noting that the council will be taking final action on Framework 40 at your next council meeting. So jumping back into some of the regional specific information from the 2025 surveys, for the Nantucket Lightship, again, I'll note that this is while it's a very large recruitment event, it's still smaller than that extremely large recruitment event that drove that 2013 year class. These are shallower animals. They're a little bit further north in that area, and they're growing slightly faster than that larger cohort. Another point to drive home is that the scallops in this small, dense plot that you can see both in the VIMS dredge data on the right and the HAPCAM data on the left, and those plots, that's 47% of all the scallops out there. That's 27% of all the scallop biomass out there right now. And so this is a very dense region that really represents a solid proportion of the total future of the scallop fishery right now. So it's a very important area. Right now, the committee is tasked to analyze a continued closure of that area. By and large, these animals are still largely fairly small, and we wouldn't be thinking about rotational access for at least another year or two. And here, just showing the length frequency distribution relative to the 4-inch ring. and that nearly none of the animals in the Lightship South right now would be considered exploitable. Jumping to Area 1, as I noted, we did see a fairly large decline in biomass in the northern portion of Area 1 in what's called the Sliver. And right now, the 2025 biomass estimate for that area, looking at about 12.1 million pounds in the Sliver, and then about 1.1 million pounds in the traditional access area. There's still a mix of year classes in the northern area. What in the surveys was 3 and 5 year olds intermixed will be about 4 and 6 years old come fishing year 2026. There was fairly limited recruitment in that northern area there as well. Overall, that large year class has seen fairly poor yields. The fishing in that area for fishing year 2025 has been largely mixed. A lot of 1020s and 2030s in that area. There weren't a lot of large animals. There's also been a lot of evidence of predation from sea stars, and so elevated natural mortality is likely playing a role. And so the conversations at the PDT, the AP, and the committee have really been about the greater uncertainty around fishing in this area, leading the committee to want to explore reverting this area to open bottom in comparison to rotational fishing at a 12,000-pound trip. Currently, for fishing year 2025, there was one 12,000-pound trip allocated. Still, a fair number of those trips have yet to be fished. And so I think there's a trade-off here between how to handle the uncertainty in this area and whether it's going to be able to hold up to another year of allocated trips. For Area 2, biomass, I think, more steeply declined in both of these areas, the traditional access area and the Area 2 extension. These areas have been allocated for a number of years now, and it looks to be about time to close these areas. This was the committee tasking to the PDT and across the board looking at closing Area 2 for fishing year 2026. Currently, for fishing year 2025, there was one 12,000-pound trip allocated. Anecdotally, folks have reported some struggles getting their trip out of that area. I think yields have been largely okay, and they certainly turned around this year relative to 2024. But what we can see in the plots on the bottom here, the left two plots are for the traditional access area and the extension. Particularly in the traditional access area, there isn't a lot of large biomass left. There were some spots of recruitment, but by and large, overall abundance in biomass is fairly low for the access area. In the extension, there are still some pockets of larger animals. And so here just showing the kind of total length frequency distribution relative to the 4-inch ring there. And then I've also added on here the Area 2 North in the HAPC, showing what in 2024 was a very large cohort of very large animals has appeared to suffer a decline, evidently due to natural mortality, with no fishing effort taking place in that area. And so relatively, there was a large amount of recruitment that stretched from the northern flank into the HAPC to the east that appears to really outnumber the abundance of those larger animals in that larger cohort by about 2 to 1. And here just showing the density plots. So on the left is pre-recruits, so less than 35 millimeters, in the middle 35 to 75 rather, and then in the far right are the fully exploitable recruited animals. And so we can see that really through the traditional access area, kind of the northeast portion of Area 2, densities are far lower. And for the extension area, there was some signs of recruitment and still some large animals in that area as well. For Georges Bank Open, The committee tasking wanted to look at days at sea analysis for 18, 24, 30, and 36 days at sea, with and without that Mid-Atlantic Georgia Spank split. Currently for fishing year 2025, there are 24 days at sea allocated. Here showing the density plots for the HapCam on the left and the SMAS drop camera on the right, showing that throughout the Great South Channel, southern flank and northern flank, there really isn't a lot of fully exploitable biomass available. There is a dense hotspot in the, you can kind of see in the southern flank there, that's just a small single point with a large amount of biomass available. So here showing the drop camera images from that hotspot in the southern flank, showing some very, very high densities of animals between the 35 and 75 millimeter size class. There are some pre-recruits in that area. There are some larger animals in that area as well, but very, very high densities, almost 100 recruits per meter squared in that southern flank area. For the northern flank, they're smaller animals, just pre-recruits, and looking at densities between 0.8 and 6.9 pre-recruits per meter squared across five stations. So a slightly larger area, certainly a single year class up there on the northern flank. In the southern flank, a much, much smaller area, and really seeing multiple cohorts over across a much smaller point. Jumping to the New York Bight in Long Island, the survey saw a large cohort of slow-growing three-year-olds south of Long Island, sort of in the northern section of the old New York Bight closure. The committee tasking was to look at analysis of this closure to protect small scallops. There are some trade-offs here. With a closure of this area in the Mid-Atlantic would kind of take some of the biomass out of the Hudson Canyon south, so that area kind of reforms the SAMS areas for that. And so it would really reduce open bottom biomass in the Mid-Atlantic by about 30% and reduce what's in the Hudson Canyon South area by about 45%. But looking at the New York Bight regional survey biomass, so across a bunch of the areas in that region that would kind of play into this closure and a potential access area, we really saw an increase in biomass of about 12 million pounds, driven by that recruitment in Long Island and the growth in the Elephant Trunk and Hudson Canyon South areas. And here just showing the length frequency distribution. So we're talking largely of animals in the kind of 75 to 80 millimeter range. So small three-year-olds would be somewhat exploitable, but not fully exploitable to the gear, but not new recruits. And this certainly would, if closed, I think be a short-term closure to improve yield in this area. For the Elephant Trunk in Hudson Canyon, again, I'll note that we really saw some reasonable growth in the Elephant Trunk and Hudson Canyon areas, which have traditionally seen some elevated natural mortality. The Elephant Trunk was closed for 2025. Now we're seeing about 1.24 billion scallops between those two areas, so it's a fair number of animals. Grand total between them, looking at around 28 million pounds of biomass. The committee tasking here was to look at reverting this area to open bottom. There's the kind of a trade-off here between the animals in the Mid-Atlantic, certainly experiencing elevated natural mortality. And if they're not growing as large before they die of natural causes, it might be beneficial to explore fishing earlier than we typically would on those animals to really kind of catch them before they die. So the PDT will consider open bottom or limited rotational fishing in the upcoming SAMS runs. And here showing the length frequency distributions again, just showing around 80 to 82 millimeter scallops. So not fully exploitable to the gear, but certainly would provide some open bottom fishing opportunities if left open. onto the Gulf of Maine. The overall news here is not very positive. There were declines in both biomass and abundance throughout a lot of the Northern Gulf of Maine management unit. Really, the increases that we saw in recruitment were largely in the Western Gulf of Maine closure. And so if we look across the total number of animals within the Gulf of Maine, it's only a slight decline, but that was really offset between the increase in the Western Gulf of Maine closure and the decline seen elsewhere within the open management area. In biomass here, we see, again, an increase in the Western Gulf of Maine closure, decreases on Stellwagen Bank within the Northern Gulf of Maine Management Unit, as well as on Jeffrey's Ledge. Also noting that even in the areas that were closed to fishing, such as caches, there were still fairly substantial declines in fishing effort, in biomass. So overall in the Gulf of Maine, really no major recruitment events, moderate declines in biomass within the Northern Gulf of Maine area, outside of the Western Gulf of Maine closure. South of the 4220 in the open bottom, there was some recruitment noted. You can see that in the plots in yellow on the far left here. And so there was some recruitment within the Western Gulf of Maine and across Stellwagen, but I think that was seen more south of the line than north of the line within the management unit. And then overall, a fairly steep decline in fully recruited animals. Definitely fewer exploitable scallops left in the Northern Gulf of Maine after this season. And so now the majority of biomass on the Stellwagen Bank, I should say, is actually now south of the 4220. So more animals outside of the management area than inside of the management area. Again, some recruitment observed, but a decline in small and large scallops outside of the Western Gulf of Maine closure. The committee tasking on this is to look at an F rate of between 0.2 and 0.25, looking at Stellwagen only, and then an F of 0.18 for the whole Northern Gulf of Maine except for Stellwagen. And this is really queuing up an interest in splitting the Northern Gulf of Maine management area into separate sub areas. And here showing these two plots, this is the 2024 SMAS drop camera survey showing the large, kind of dominating larger year class on Stellwagen Bank. And then in 2025, really a large decline in those larger animals and that incoming recruitment making up a larger section of the larger proportion of the total animals on Stellwagen. All right, pivoting somewhat now to the August 19th SSC meeting. We got a report from Dr. McManus yesterday on this, but queuing up a couple of discussion points for today. So the PDT brought this question to the SSC at the October 19th meeting, really wondering the appropriateness of the biological reference points for use in management and setting catch specifications. And then how the council should be considering that elevated uncertainty associated with the combined reference point. And as we heard, the SSC recommended the PDT provide several OFL and ABC options for consideration at the October 8th meeting. So again, those options here, just following the default scallop ABC control rule, using the Georges Bank regional reference points to set the overall OFL and ABC, and then using a modified P-star approach to really increase the scientific uncertainty associated with the ABC. Based on input we've received from the regional office, option 2 and 3 would be viable within a framework option, but would require modifying the ABC control rule to allow the SSC to deviate from the ABC control rule per National Standard 1. This is something, as I'm sure many of you know, has been done for other fisheries. The SSC does have this provision for other FMPs. Scallop seems to be the exception to that without that language within the regulations right now. And so would require a measure within Framework 40 to allow the SSC that purview. The other kind of substantial question here is really around whether it's worthwhile to try to modify the catch limits relative to the ABC control rule, and to what degree do options 2 and 3 actually constrain catch. We kind of saw in this previous plot, this is showing the OFL ABC relative to projected landings and realized landings, that landings are almost always set far below the actual catch limits for the fishery. And so at what point is it sort of meaningless to change the catch limits to try to constrain fishing effort on Georgia's Bank if the catch limits wouldn't be really reached anyway? So that's something that the PDT will be analyzing and be bringing those options and projected harvest for fishing year 2026 at the October 8th meeting. And with that, I will pause for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Buckley. Questions on the presentation so far? Comments, thoughts? Ms. Ware.
Sorry, I wasn't very quick there, but I just wanted to kind of thank you, express my support for, if we can, investigating splitting the NGOM areas. I think what we're seeing is the realized F on stall wagons a lot higher, even when we're setting a pretty conservative F. So that feels like a biologically sound way to move forward if we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think unless there's questions, Mr. Chair, I believe there is a motion that's related to this section if you want to take it now.
Okay, actually I see a hand right now. Mr. Platts.
Yeah, thank you for that, Connor. And yeah, I apologize if I'm rehashing from committee and AP discussion. But in the slide, I think it's 25, there's a decline in Fipponese, Ipswich, Jeffries, and Matthias. Machias, I mean, and Stellwagen South. Why do you have any explanation or rationale for why these areas that aren't really being exploited are seeing a consistent decline in the last year?
It isn't something the PDT has an explanation for right now. I think certainly it is. These areas weren't seeing a substantial amount of fishing pressure. I think there were maybe one or two boats that fished up around Machias Seal Island. It's an unknown right now why we saw that decline with very, very little fishing effort in those areas.
Yeah, thanks. I'm just struck by the consistency of it and wondering, it seems like there's some factor at work that's fairly pervasive. Thank you.
Mr. Hansen.
Mr. Slarnell, thank you very much. Thank you, Connor, for the presentation. I'm not sure if you're just having questions. I have a motion to address some of the concerns that were raised during the presentation, and I'm just not sure if this is the appropriate time.
It is. You are the only one up right now.
Okay. I move that the council add to the scope of Framework 40 the consideration of allocating limited access days at sea separately for Georgia's Bank and the Mid-Atlantic using 71 degrees west as the demarcation line. If I have a second, I'll give you some rationale.
Looking for a second?
Melanie.
Yep. Rationale?
Okay, the results of the 2025 scallop research track assessment suggest that Georgia's Bank was experiencing overfishing in 2023. Allocating separate days at sea by region would allow the council to cap effort on Georgia's Bank while allowing additional fishing effort in the Mid-Atlantic, where 2025 surveys observed more favorable resource conditions. 71 degree west line currently demarcates the turtle deflected dredge and chain mat regulated area and would be an appropriate boundary line.
Anything to add, Melanie?
No, just this allows us to analyze this for potential decision making.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Pentney.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I appreciate Mr. Hansen making this motion because we were talking about this issue that came up through the advisory panel and other discussions. And getting this, you know, on the table now, I think, if the council approves this motion, will help us at the regional office start working on some of the, you know, accommodations in terms of our VMS tracking and days at sea tracking that we would have to make if this were then approved as part of Framework 40. The earlier we can start that work, the better. I did have one, so I appreciate this. If the motion passes, that'll give us good information to start working on it. But one question that we were sort of chatting about sidebarring is whether the intent is that, say, the allocation was 24 days at sea, you know, say six of which could be used in Georgia's and 18 of which could be used in the Mid-Atlantic, would that be the definitive allocation, or could you envision a scenario where a vessel is allocated 24 days at sea total, of which up to six could be used in Georgia's, but all 24 could be used in the Mid-Atlantic? We used to do monkfish north-south like that back in the day. And just having an indication of how that days at sea would be allocated would help us start to prepare if that's the direction the council wants to go. Thanks.
Mr. Hansen.
I have it's an interesting concept, and I know the AP recommended a split, but I think, you know, if the resource is stronger in the Mid-Atlantic, I don't see any problem with using it as you described. And I think that probably be the way to go, because we're more concerned with overfishing on Georgia's Bank than anywhere else.
Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. I am just going to caution the council that, you know, this is the end of September. You take final action on Framework 40 the first week of December with a Thanksgiving holiday week in there. And while the resource needs something like this, a management intervention, the more complicated it becomes, the less ability the PDT has to adequately analyze it. And I think something like this is a pretty fundamental change in how we've been managing scallops. We've never allocated regionally. There's been a lot of discussions, but the council hasn't actually taken that step. So this is a pretty significant change. And while I think there's a lot of benefits for the scallop resource, we just do need to be mindful around potential economic impact analyses and impacts on ports and communities. This is a different way to manage. So as streamlined as we can keep this in terms of how it works, I think would be better to get the type of analysis you're going to be looking for in December.
Connor?
Yeah, I think that the option the regional administrator provided is one that could be worth considering. And maybe input on if there is a way that would be more streamlined from an implementation perspective at this time that could be helpful for to kind of direct some of the PDT tasking and how our analysis is working.
Further questions, discussion on the motion from the council? Mr. Pentney.
Yeah, thanks. Just to follow up on Connor's suggestion, we'll chat with our tech team back at the office that would have to then ultimately implement these changes. And if there is a cleaner way to do this, given is the short timeline that Kate mentioned and you know, the intent that we get these specs implemented by April 1st, and we'll let the PDT know if there is a preferred approach for this.
Tog Braun.
Thank you. I just want to speak very much in favor of this. We've got to do something. We certainly don't want to close all of Georgia's Bank. And although I might end up disagreeing with Mr. Hansen on the number of days that should be allocated in each region, we have to do something. So very much support this motion.
Thank you, Tog. Jeff Smith.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm supportive of including this motion as well, but thinking about Dr. O'Keefe's comments in response to the question that Mike asked, I don't know if the maker and the seconder are interested in picking one way or the other to do the split, whether it was the way it was originally intended or whether you're free to use all 24 days in the mid, or whether you want it to be split 16, 6, and 18, because if we leave them both out there, then presumably staff would have to do an analysis on both ways, and that might create problems for us to meet the timing, as Dr. O'Keefe had said. So I don't have a strong opinion on either way to do that, but I don't know that we have the resources to be able to evaluate both of those as part of this action and the timeline that we're on. So I'm not sure how to tackle that, but I just wanted to get it out there.
So I'll go back to Mr. Pentney.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, to Jeff's question, that's what I was trying to get at, is that the PDT meets next week, I believe. We will set up a meeting internally with our tech, you know, our technology shop. And if there is a preferred between those two approaches, if there is a preferred approach in terms of implementing the changes by April 1st, then we will let the PDT know so that that can be the focus of the analysis. I wouldn't suggest that the PDT try to analyze both, but we will try to provide input to the PDT if there is a preferred approach in terms of the efficiency of getting the change implemented.
Couple of lingering hands, but I assume those were taken care of. Seeing no further discussion around the table, I'll go out to the audience there. So I'll go to Dr. Quinn.
Thank you very much, John Quinn, Fishery Survival Fund, and support this motion. I think we've heard overfishing has been occurring in 2023 many times over the last year or so, and this is the exact response to try and spread out some more of that effort, and I think this is the appropriate way to do it. I also want to add that if I'm reading one of the charts there, it's the narrowest difference between Georgia's Bank and Mid-Atlantic Fishing in the last 5 years, one of the charts on slide 15, which I think indicates that the fishermen on their own are doing this. And I think it's important that we put this, adopt this motion and analyze it, and hopefully can require the spreading out of effort rather than optional spreading out the effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Quinn. Any other comments in the room from the public? Online, I have Ron Smolowitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fishery Survival Fund. I strongly support this motion. And one other consideration is I think it has to be a fixed number of days on Georgia's Bank and a fixed number in the Mid-Atlantic to decrease the management uncertainty and the scientific uncertainty, which would reduce the number of allocated days. We went through this before back years ago with the Hudson Canyon access area. So I definitely recommend a fixed number of days due to the increased uncertainty that the flexibility would provide. The other thing that I just want to mention is that the scientific uncertainty in this upcoming framework is higher than we've ever had. The unknowns due to increased predation and mortality, environmental changes, temperature changes, is making everything very difficult to predict. And one of the advantages of days at sea over access area possession limits is that it provides a safety relief valve, if you will. If the scallops aren't there, the vessel can move somewhere else. And if you have a access area, you don't have that flexibility. This year is very different than past years, and everybody needs to be considering that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smolowitz. Seeing no other comments, hands from the public, I will go back to the council one more time. Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion on the board? Any abstentions? Seeing none, this will pass by unanimous consent. Further discussion on the presentation? Ms. Ware?
Thank you. I'm just looking for some clarification on NGOM. My understanding is maybe the PDT is already working on the two areas for the NGOM region, but given we just passed a motion for the LA fleet, I'm interested if a similar motion is needed for NGOM, and if there's any clarity there, that would be helpful.
There was no committee tasking for an analysis of a split in the Northern Gulf of Maine. The discussion around the different F rates that were tasked for analysis were meant to, I think, support that conversation, but nothing was ever formally brought up, and it would likely require an addition to the scope of Framework 40 as well.
Okay, then I'm gonna make that motion. We'll just see how it goes. So I think it would be the same as the first part of the sentence up there, that the council add to the scope of Framework 40 consideration of two NGOM sub-areas. It would be Stillwagon North and everything else.
Is that what you're looking for, Megan?
Yeah, I mean, I think specifically it's Stillwagon North and everything else, but I've said that on the record, so I feel like maybe that's okay.
I just think they're perfecting it, just to make sure we capture what you wanted. Thank you. Is that what you're looking for there on the board?
Yeah.
There?
Do you want me to read it in?
Yes, please.
Yep. That the council add to the scope of Framework 40 consideration of allocating two Northern Gulf of Maine sub-areas, e.g. Stillwagon North and Northern Gulf of Maine Other.
Looking for a second on this? Tog, is that you seconding? So you're both happy with that on the board? Okay. Do you have a rationale, Megan?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're having a similar conversation to what we just had with the LA fleet, where even though we're setting very conservative F rates on Stillwagon, we saw a pretty big decline in the biomass, a lot of effort on that region. And I think this is prudent in response to that. My understanding is there may already be some work on this. I understand this is adding more work to the framework. If we run out of time, we run out of time. But I think it's worth considering, given where we're at. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ware. Anything to add, Ms. Braun?
Yes, just that there are scallops beyond Stellwagen. There was I actually bought a number of them, caught just off Cutler. There are scallops in other areas, and we're not going to find them unless we have the opportunity to do so, and no one in their right mind, or not many, would be hunting around when they can go to Stellwagen and get a sure bet. So I think this is good for a number of reasons, both biologically and for the economic viability of the fleet.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion before everyone from the council. Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, I understand the intent behind this and the reasoning behind it. I am concerned about the workload and what this could do to delaying the framework. I'd like to hear from the agency too about what this would entail on their end and how feasible of a lift it would be to now be managing sub areas in the Northern Gulf of Maine.
Mr. Pentney.
Thanks. Yeah. So, as Melanie said, appreciate and understand the intent behind this. I think there's a lot of risk here in terms of the workload and the expectation, not only for the PDT to develop and analyze, this option, but on the implementation side. And, as everybody knows, the Northern Gulf of Maine fishery, that's what we need to be ready to go on April 1st. And creating a new allocation is creating new VMS codes. It's doubling the workload in terms of tracking landings and preparing in-season actions. We don't have a system to right now to track and distinguish between catch in Stellwagen North versus Northern Gulf of Maine other. So that would all have to be created, between the final action and April 1st. And if we're late, then the Northern Gulf of Maine doesn't open. And I feel like we have a little bit more wiggle room in terms of getting things lined up for the limited access fleet with those days at sea. Plus, we have old VMS codes we could reuse, sort of bring back from the dead to facilitate that. But this would all be created out of whole cloth, with the need to get it ready to go on April 1st. So I just have some concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Pitney. Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mike, thanks for those thoughts. It has me reconsidering things here, but I plan on supporting this motion. I think that this concept is one that, I remember hearing about this when we were up at the Fishermen's Forum this spring and we were having the scallop visioning sessions up there. And there was a pretty good, robust discussion about some of the upside of doing this. And I'd prefer to pass this motion up and to spend some time between now and final action analyzing it. And I would hope in the interim that maybe the agency could provide us a little bit more guidance on whether it would be ready to go for April 1 or not. And if it was looking like it couldn't be done by April 1, we could choose not to do it. But I'd like to see some work done to move this forward and at least give us an analysis of what some of the upsides might be. So I'll be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Pappalardo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand the concerns over out of whole cloth, as the regional administrator said, but I'm inclined to support this. And quite frankly, the non-Stellwagen areas, the non-Stellwagen South areas, the new areas that may become fishable under this, don't necessarily have to open April 1st. And I'm wondering if the regional administrator could partially approve the framework and delay that these additional areas in the Gulf of Maine, if it came down to that.
I'll go to Tog Braun first.
John sort of stole my thunder. I was going to say that Stellwagen has to open April 1st. The other areas don't necessarily have to. But just as Jeff said also, I would like the opportunity to at least look at this. And then if it seems like we can't do it, then we can not do it. But I think it's worth at least looking into and then letting the AP and the committee strategize to find a way to make it workable.
Akito. Did you have a follow-up, Mr. Pentney?
No, I think, I mean, like I said, what I, you know, my concerns, and we're going to have to think about this and look at this, but I do have substantial concerns about our ability to turn this around and get it ready for April 1st. You know, if we were talking about creating the system for future years, that might be one thing, but trying to having this with the setting the expectation that we can have this ready to go on April 1st, 2026 is, I think, setting expectations way too high.
Thank you. Mr. Platts.
Yeah, in theory, I support this. I do. I am hearing what the RA is saying and hearing those concerns. I think actually the other areas opening up later facilitates the action better. I think that would be positive because people would go and they'd get the sure thing and then they'd have open areas. Some might go lobstering, some will do exploring and checking it out. But when I talked to Kristen Porter about this idea, he actually expressed that he thought staggered openings would work better to achieve the purpose. And I agree with that. So I'm just throwing that out there on this issue.
Ms. Griffin and then Eric Hansen.
Yeah, there are a lot of great ideas here. Again, I'm focused just on reality. From what I heard from Mr. Pentney, I mean, even if there was delayed openings of the non-Stellwagen area, it sounded like the agency would still be needing to create new structure to manage just Stellwagen. But I think the way that I would be comfortable with this moving forward would only be if the PDT is prioritizing all other Framework 40 work before getting to this. I mean, we have, I think, what, 9 weeks before final decision. So I'm just looking at the reality of this. So for me to support it, I would like to have the PDT prioritize all of their analysis before getting to this. I don't know how others feel about that.
Mr. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I support this in concept. I'm not so sure, hearing about the workloads, that I could, you know, put it forward. The difference I see between the limited access proposal is that it prevents overfishing in a certain area. This seems to be an economic proposal to create opportunity. So I don't think it's as urgent, but I think it should be followed through at a later date. But I'm not sure if it should be included for Framework 40.
Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick follow-up on Mr. Pappalardo's question. As far as the logistics of this and creating two reporting systems for the Northern Gulf of Maine, would it be easier, less complicated, less of a workload to do a Stellwagen opening on April 1st and then a closure of Stellwagen and then an opening of the rest of the Northern Gulf of Maine? I don't know if you could use the same codes or anything. It would all be Northern Gulf of Maine scallops, and maybe you wouldn't have to build everything if Stellwagen was closed and now we're opening another area. So I don't know.
Mr. Pentney?
Yeah, I mean, thanks. I think Jeff's suggestion is more workable. I mean, just to restate it, just so I make sure I'm clear and we're clear, the Northern Gulf of Maine fishery would open on April 1st. You'd use that VMS code, but we would kind of geofence around the Stellwagen area, saying fishing can only occur in that area. And then when that closes, because that quota has been reached or the trips have been exhausted, then we would do a notice saying that this area is closed and the rest of the Northern Gulf of Maine is open. And then we would track land, and then essentially you couldn't fish within the Stellwagen area, but you could fish outside of that until we hit the second quota, and then we would close. Yeah, that would be more workable. It's still, I don't want to say that, like, solves all the workload problems and we're good to go. You know, still an issue and still a challenge, but it's a more workable system than trying to have two separate concurrent fishing areas running.
Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. A follow-up for Mr. Pentney. this would rely on having the final rule published and put in on time, and then kind of in real time management to close an area, then open an area. Is that correct?
Yes.
Just for consideration of where kind of things are at right now, generally.
Mr. Gates. Sorry, I think, could you raise your hand again, Matt? There you go. Oh, could you, there you go. Just hold your hand up, we'll get you. There you go. I think you're all set.
Here we go, thank you. Thanks for working through that. So yeah, I've been listening to this conversation and I think I've changed my mind like three times on it because as the arguments come and go, I think I'm inclined to support this for now. Because it sounds like maybe we could come up with a solution that is workable or closer to workable than we started with. So that's what I'm thinking right now on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gates. Ms. Ware?
Thanks. First, I just want to appreciate the conversation and the creative thinking around this. I'm happy to add to the motion, you know, prioritize last, I guess, is the way to put it. Prioritize other PDT tasks first, I guess, would be the way. And, you know, if we get to a point where there's a drop-dead date and we decide it's not feasible, then that's fine. I totally get the timing concerns. I kind of think we're always up against that. We aren't getting biomass estimates until this meeting, and we're often reacting to that. So I don't see our window of time changing a lot. But I appreciate the conversation we've had, and we'll see what happens here. But I think we've established there's some interest in this, whether it's Framework 40 or moving forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ware. Is that the language you're looking for? Is there something else you want to add to that?
No, that's great. Do you want me to read it, or it's all good?
You don't have to read it. Okay. Ms. Braun? Thumbs up from Ms. Braun. Mr. Platts?
Yeah, I like this adjustment to the motion. I really want to support this, but you know, and I think we have to reach for as much as we can. And if we come up short, and we accept that we may come up short, then that's a position I'm comfortable with. So I would support this motion, and just to throw in another wrench out there or thought out there. We have 10 rollover days in this fishery, and that is increasingly going to become a problem as the amount of effort is being reduced. We went through this in Monkfish with 10 rollover days on 40 days at sea. Scallop days at sea will be less, and we have all those rollover days. And that creates a lot of scientific uncertainty and real inability to manage actual effort. So I'm not proposing anything. I'm just kind of putting that lesson of experience out there. Phil Herring pulled his hair out for quite a while until he got us to reduce our rollover days at sea to 4 from 10.
Just hold on, Ted. I don't believe that there's a rollover component of the Northern Gulf of Maine. I think what you're referring to is the limited access fleet, so that's actually not appropriate, sorry, for what the motion on the board is.
Yes, sir. It's not consistent with the motion on the board. It's just a general
thought. Thank you.
For people to think in. Sorry.
I get you. No, not a problem. Seeing no other questions around the table, anyone from the public would like to comment on that? Yes, sir. Ben Martens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ben Martens with the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. Really appreciate the conversation, motion on the board, fully in support of the analysis and the scoping framework for the work effort. I would also just add that one of the questions that Ted brought up earlier around like what's happening with the biomass in the Northern Gulf of Maine, these different areas, we don't have a lot of survey work taking place. We don't have a lot of catch effort taking place in any of these areas. And so I do think spreading out a little bit of the effort is additive to the data collection process that we should all be investing in. And this is a way for us to start to learn a little bit more about some of the opportunities in the Northern Gulf of Maine, which I think many of us are hearing about anecdotally, but it'd be really nice to start to get some of that in the data sets and in the paperwork. So thank you for the great conversation, fully in support of this analysis. And I think this is something that we can bring back to the fishing fleet for some more input as well over the next month or so.
Thank you, Ms. Martins. Any other further comment from the public? Back to the council. Seeing none, sounds like there's some quite a few changes of minds back and forth around this one. Is there any objection to the motion on the board at this point? Any abstentions? Seeing none, this motion will pass by consent. Do I come back to you? Ms. Griffin?
If that concludes this discussion on Framework 40, I believe Connor has another presentation on our work priorities.
Mr. Buckley.
All right, thank you. So pivoting over to discussion on work priorities for 2025, just a brief rundown of where we're at by quarter here on our different work priorities. So obviously we're in the midst of Framework 40 and specification setting for fishing year 2026 and 2027. Annual scallop RSA work right now is sort of on pause as we're waiting for publication of the notice of funding opportunity. 2025 research track has obviously concluded, and now we're really working to incorporate those new stock reference points in place for Framework 40. The two additional ones that we're really still working on here are the limited access general category IFQ program review, as well as the long-term strategic plan. And I'll cover those in more detail here. So just a brief update of where we're at on the IFQ program review. Initially, we were planning to have a final report available for you at this council meeting. We're, I think, a little bit delayed, and we've asked for some additional time to finalize and review that report and plan to have the final report available for the January 2026 council meeting after final actions taken in December on Framework 40. Then on the scallop strategic plan, since the council met in June, the PDT has made some minor revisions and added additional data to that strategic plan roadmap document. We're still on track to present the council with the final strategic plan at your December meeting. At the September scallop AP and committee meetings, the groups provided input on prioritization of each strategy and provided some input on really how this strategic plan would align with our annual priority setting process. And then considered evaluation criteria and frequency and really how this strategic plan would be used going forward. So just a brief review, since it's been a little while, on the objectives that are considered within the SCALP strategic plan. First off, looking to improve management capacity, flexibility, and responsiveness in a changing environment. Whether that's a changing ecosystem or really changing management environment, I think we have strategies in there that kind of tackle both concerns. Objective two is looking at the reliability of annual projections of biomass and abundance and how we can get more accurate and more precise projections. Number three, expanding opportunities in the Northern Gulf of Maine fishery. one of the strategies on that was really discussed today about splitting up the management unit into different subunits to help try to disperse effort. Option four here, or objective four, I'm sorry, looking to improve rotational management performance and access area fishing opportunities. Number five is around improving fishing practices to try to minimize incidental scallop mortality, bycatch, and impacts on habitat and protected resources. Number six, around maintaining the economic viability of the scallop fleet. Number seven, around maintaining a dynamic scallop research set-aside program. And developing a regulatory management and funding infrastructure to support scallop enhancement, and then improving scallop industry engagement at council's meetings of the PDT, AP, and committee. On the implementation side, we've had some discussions at the PDT, AP, and committee level around how to use this document. Right now, we're really considering this being a living document that gets updated and is adaptable to fishery and management needs. So the thought is right now that strategies could be added to each objective through a committee motion, added or removed. And really aiming for a list of strategies that is achievable in a 3 to 5 year period, and really having evaluation criteria that facilitate this being a workable strategic plan with a fixed or flexible but reasonable timeline that the council set out for with this as a 3 to 5 year strategic plan. For evaluation criteria, really looking to measure progress towards each of the objectives and make sure that the work priorities that we're spending our time on are really moving us closer to the long-term vision that the fishery outlined at the visioning sessions earlier this year. So we've had some conversations around whether to pick this back up and evaluate our progress annually or biennially. And then for evaluation criteria, thinking about measurable and quantitative but also high level criteria for evaluating progress so that it really isn't burdensome to evaluate, and we can kind of get a quick measure of the management's success at achieving each of these objectives. So next steps for this, go through a process of final prioritization of the strategic plan strategies. We'll add in evaluation criteria for each of these objectives. We'll plan to develop an appendix describing previous management actions, council discussion, and really ongoing work relevant to each of the objectives. And again, still planning for final approval of the strategic plan at your December meeting. Following up on a council motion at your June meeting around concerns of compliance in the 2025 Northern Gulf of Maine fishery, the council had requested the SCAL PDT work with NOAA OLE to develop a data request to better understand these perceived issues with the fishery compliance relative to previous years. The PDT did develop a data request with input from NOAA OLE, sent that letter to division leadership on August 1st. Council staff met with Office of Law Enforcement, General Counsel, and their staff on August 12th to better understand some of the obstacles that they were having fulfilling that data request, which included both staffing and database limitations. And so we do not have the data that was requested. NOAA OLE really understood the council's concerns and the reason for the data request, and it really agreed towards working towards a better data structure that would allow for easier understanding of those finer scale fishery compliance issues around specific segments of the fishery or specific geographic areas. And so I think this is something that will continue to monitor, and certainly with the reconstitution of the council's enforcement committee is something that we can follow up more with. On the scallop RSA, notice of funding opportunity, as I'm sure most are aware, the 2026 NOFO is still pending publication, despite being submitted by the regional office in June. We haven't had any status updates from NOAA headquarters on this. Currently, When it comes to our surveys, most are funded out through multi-year awards, as you can see in the table to the right, through 2027 or 2028. The exception to this is the Maine DMR Dredge Survey, which was only funded for a two-year survey, and so 2025 was the last funded year. So without the publication of this 2026 Notice of Funding Opportunity, there wouldn't be a dredge survey in the Gulf of Maine for this year. And so this is certainly a concern. We're not really sure what it would take to shake this loose, but there is a committee motion for you today regarding sending a letter to NOAA headquarters urging the publication of the NOFO. And with that, happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Buckley. Any questions on the second part of the presentation? Jeff Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Could you go back to slide 38 on the Northern Gulf of Maine enforcement? So I just wanted to get a little better understanding of, if you're able to, on sort of what some of the issues here are with the database. I went back and looked at the July 24th Scallop PDT meeting notes. It sounded like there was a pretty good discussion amongst the PDT and OLE on what the interest was from the council in understanding this, and that the PDT crafted a pretty careful and pretty careful request consistent with what they had heard. And my understanding is we heard back, thanks for your request, we can't respond to it because we don't have the data in the right format. So can you just talk a little bit more about what it is that OLE has agreed to do, and it says to work towards a data structure that works. Is this a 1 month endeavor, or is this a 2 year endeavor to create a database that we can actually get the information that we requested?
Yeah, I can certainly shed more light on what the issues that they highlighted were. I don't know how long it would take them to kind of fix those issues and kind of ease this problem, but largely, the compliance information that they provide doesn't contain information, from what I remember, on permits, on the specific area that it occurred, so whether it was inside or outside of the Northern Gulf of Maine management area. That gets really associated with the compliance information through VTR and VMS data. Which they're going through trip by trip to associate with that compliance event, however that single piece of information is stored. And so that process is very time consuming to go back through all that VMS data. And I think their staffing limitations right now made that a large struggle to spend the time fulfilling the council's data requests. I think that they could do it, but it was that resources were really needed elsewhere, and that it was a very burdensome request, was what I recall.
Yeah, thanks for that. So it sounds like a little bit of both a staffing issue and a database structure, huh? I hope we can figure out a way to resolve this. I think that the information that the council was requesting is important for us as we consider future management in the Northern Gulf of Maine. It didn't seem like an unreasonable request what the PDT put together, but I understand there's limitations. So I just hope we can move that one forward sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, and on that, actually, I wanted to follow up about how we might be able to move this forward. I thought the committee had a good discussion, and I heard things like, oh, maybe reconstituting the enforcement committee could help with this, but also committee member brought up, since it seemed to be kind of databases not talking to each other, could we get a third-party contract or something like that to resolve this and answer these important questions? So I don't think it's something that we need to take care of right now. I'd look to our executive director, but it sounds like maybe something the council members want to think about when we talk about priorities for this year.
Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. I think that's a helpful suggestion, and certainly something that could be within the priority proposals. I will also note, I worked with Mr. Buckley on this issue. We met with several folks from OLE. we also kind of wanted to put it back to the council to maybe, with this type of request in the future, clarify the objective of the question. It did feel a little bit when we were talking with OLE that there were pieces of information being requested, but the question that they were trying to address wasn't really fully defined, and that might help OLE understand the pieces that need to be pulled together rather than us trying to tell them what we need. But definition of the question would be useful.
Ms. Braun, I saw your hand before.
I'm fine. Thank you. A lot of what I was going to say has been raised. Thanks.
Gotcha. Any other comments, questions for Mr. Buckley? Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, if you're ready, if there's no more questions, I do have a motion on behalf of the committee.
Have at it.
So I move on behalf of the Scallop Committee that the Council send a letter to NOAA headquarters urging the immediate publication of the 2026 Scallop Research Set-Aside Notice of Funding Opportunity. Since this is a committee motion, I'll just provide the rationale straight away. Without the 2026 NOFO, the RSA grant cycle would not move forward, negatively affecting scallop research and resource surveys that are critical to the management of the fishery.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Any questions, comments on the motion before the council? Ms. Ware.
Yeah, just want to express my support for this motion. Obviously, it's important for all aspects of the fishery, but I think DMR's survey is the first culprit potentially here. And we just saw some pretty concerning trends in the Gulf of Maine with scallops, so that feels pretty critical. So thank you.
Other questions, comments, concerns? Mr. Hansen.
Yeah, I'd also like to express my support for this. It's especially germane now given the government shutdown. Any shutdown will probably delay this even further. So to urge this as immediate is very important.
Anyone from the public? Mr. Smolowitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I definitely support this. But as Eric pointed out, there's all sorts of things going on that this might not happen. And I have suggested the use of EFPs. So, for example, the Gulf of Maine survey, the state of Maine could submit an EFP to do that work and request compensation pounds that have been set aside for research. That way we don't need any further approval from Washington. We basically, the decision could be made administratively at GARFO. And I think that's a very viable way. Some people have said that compensation pounds could only be funded through a competition. That is not true. And I think GARFO should follow up on the use of EFPs to conduct this research. The council has already set priorities, and the scallops have already been set aside for research. I think there's something like 600,000 pounds available. And you could easily have the a joint PDTAP review EFP proposals and make a recommendation to the regional administrator. So I really think we should be moving forward on that front in case this NOFO is not issued. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smolowitz. Follow-up, Attorney Sikowski.
Good morning, everybody. Scott Sikowski, NOAA Office of General Counsel. There's a pre-existing legal determination from our Department of Commerce General Counsel that the Scallop RSA program is most appropriate legal instrument is through the grants process. I was asked, excuse me, as an effort to try to find a way forward to look into this from multiple different angles. I've looked at it from a history of the RSA program, looking at other programs that don't necessarily use grants and what are the similarities and differences, and then kind of doing original legal research on the subject. And we're trying to find a way forward, but it's not as simple. You can't just issue an EFP in this world and get the same result. So we're trying to figure out a way forward, but we don't have one right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Skowski. Back to the council. Any more comments, questions on the motion on the board? Seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion? Any abstentions? This motion will pass with one abstention. Mr. Pentney. Back to you, Ms. Griffin.
Thank you, Chair. And I believe that is all. I'll look to Connor to make sure that we've covered all the bases we have. So that is it for the Scallop Committee report. And as always, thank you to staff and everybody involved in the process for keeping us moving along.
Thank you. We are only 4 minutes behind. We will be taking a break. We will do 10 minutes, be back here at 11:15 for Groundfish. Thank you.